It's almost 11:15 Monday morning, and you know you always want the best. Of course you do for your children. Geraldine Hills from Manchester has fought long and hard to make sure her son Sam has access to the best education he can get. It's not always been easy though. Geraldine's son is disabled. He's had to move schools a couple of times to find a place that best suits his needs, and it's put pressure on the family, great pressure actually on the family, but Geraldine is determined to help other people in the same situation, and she's put together a free guide to help other parents, and she is with you and me now to tell us more. Good morning. Tell us about Sam first of all. Tell us about his disabilities.
Okay, good morning. My son is 10 and he has a disability, relatively rare, called septo-optic dysplasia, which mostly affects his vision. So he does have vision, but he has limited vision on the one side. He also has mobility issues, so he wears special shoes and, you know, he can walk okay, but he definitely needs support. And he has Tourette's syndrome as well, so a bit of a medley there.
Bit of a medley, yes. Yeah. So what kind of care and support does he need as far as education is concerned?
Okay, so Sam has a statement of education, so which basically means the local authority recognise that Sam needs extra help in school in order to help him thrive. So he has a teaching assistant and she helps him stay on track with his work. They support him in the playground because he has mobility issues, but nothing too dramatic.
So what issues did you have then as far as education was concerned? Because he went to a special school, didn't he?
Yeah.
First of all, yes. And then you wanted him to go to a mainstream school?
I think, yeah, he started off in a brilliant school, a special school in Didsbury, Lancasterian. And I think it was felt by all of us. So he didn't take the decision lightly. Mm. So it was visually impaired, mobility, speech and language, and us, the parents, we felt that mainstream was right for Sam. So we worked long and hard to make sure that we did a really good transition from the special school to the mainstream.
And what happened?
Well, we were devastated, actually, because the mainstream school originally said that they would take Sam. So we bought the uniform and we psyched Sam up and let him know he was going. And then when we got there, the school, after 12 half days of Sam being there, said they didn't want him anymore. And they cited some quite strange reasons as to why they felt that they couldn't accept him in the school.
What were the reasons, if you can tell us?
Well, it was the reasons they gave that prompted me to take the school to tribunal, which I won. So one of the reasons were Sam needs help using the P equipment and it's causing queues and it's not fair on the other children. And another reason was Sam needs help carrying his tray and it is detracting from other children in the dinner hall. And the last one was Sam needed things reiterating to him more than once and it was causing a distraction in the classroom.
How did that make you feel?
I couldn't believe it, because any child could possibly need something reiterating to them more than once. And so I couldn't really understand what they were basing the fact that they couldn't accept him in the school. But more than anything, we felt devastated and hurt for our son and insulted as well for all the professionals that had said, yeah, with the right support, he can go to mainstream. So we were devastated as a family.
You obviously were, and you felt very, very strongly about this, not just for you, but for other people. So as you say, you took the school to a tribunal and you won that.
Yeah.
How did this affect you, his mum?
Well, I think it took us the best part of a year and a half to win the tribunal. And I think in my free parent book, I talk about how difficult and emotionally challenging it is. So I guess for me, the fact that the school would not stop saying Sam can't do this and he can't do that, and I was going to meeting after meeting, the stress was just unbearable. And then, of course, having to find out what our legal rights were, I had no idea about the law. I spent night after night, week after week, month after month, researching the law and trying to put together a case, not really looking after myself. And so I had a huge breakdown.
I was going to say, this affected your health, didn't it?
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, all children need their mother, but Sam needs his mum, doesn't he?
Well, I think this was the difficult thing, was that life still went on. So we still had to medicate Sam and inject him every night. And, you know, just running the house. And my husband and I just felt trying to cope every day with Sam's medical needs, emotional needs, plus putting a legal case together, was unbearable.
What kind of pressure did it put on your relationship, on your marriage?
Well, I think in the end, Paul, my husband, was the only person I really had to shout at, if you like, and to cry. And at the end of the night, what we generally did was argue who had done the most that day to push us towards winning the tribunal. And so sometimes we didn't talk to each other. We were just in our little corners being angry with each other.
Tell me about Sam now.
Oh, wow. You know, he's in a different mainstream school because I won the right to... The tribunal recognised that the school in question made it really difficult for us to be there, and they didn't want Sam. So we went to another mainstream school. He's absolutely fantastic. He's won Citizen of the Week twice. His school report, I'm really proud of him. And his teacher tells me he has a reading age of 11 and he's 10. So he's extremely academic and we're very proud of him. And more so, I think, the school, because they've treated us with nothing but respect. And it, dare I say, they love our child. Care about him.
Care about your child. You can't ask for more than that.
Absolutely.
You now run courses, don't you, for schools on how to be inclusive for children with disabilities.
I think what it is, when I was going through my breakdown, I sat there and I thought, why has this happened? This isn't right. And they broke the law. And clearly the school didn't really understand the law, because I think if they had, they really would have thought again about what they were saying about our disabled child. It was disability discrimination that I won on. So as part of getting better, I started writing and designing courses. And now I run a company called Inclusive Choice Consultancy. And indeed, I train all schools in Manchester, all Sure Start centres, private sector, in disability discrimination.
And you've written a free guide for parents as well, haven't you?
Indeed. If you go on my website, www.inclusivechoice.com, you will find a free book there for parents. And it basically says about the law, about the Equality Act, and what you can expect for your child if they have disabilities. But more importantly, how to talk to the school and work in partnership with them.
But the most important thing, as far as you are concerned, of course, is Sam, your son, your 10-year-old son.
Yeah.
And you say he is happy, very happy where he is, and doing well and thriving.
I think the most important thing to remember is sometimes with schools, it's a genuine mistake if it is discriminatory. And it can be based on myths sometimes, or guessing how they think disabled children will thrive in their school. My tribunal case shouldn't have happened. And I think it's ironic that Sam is still in a mainstream school, albeit a different one. He's absolutely thriving and we're so relieved.
It's really good to talk to you this morning. Thank you very much indeed for sharing your story. Geraldine Hill's there telling us about her story and, of course, most importantly, her son Sam's story as well. It's 11:20.
BBC Radio Manchester.